Is Mickey still sucking meat sticks?
All right, cocksuckers, let's do a podcast.
That lined up pretty well.
Meteo Storm!
This is Superhero Time with XV.
I blame JD's poop.
Hey, Mickey.
You know who else I hate? The Irish.
Paladin.
There's always room for wieners.
And Fort Max.
I am actually Aldo.
With special guest.
It's time for the God Bless Cunting Hour.
So this is Superhero Time with Live Australian.
Yay.
Not to be confused with our Space Australian, who's partly
Hello.
Live.
And talking over you.
He wouldn't be Fort...
He's alive.
He wouldn't be Fort Max, just like Paladin wouldn't be Paladin without horrible recycled jokes every 35 seconds.
Oh, so have you replaced...
schedule tonight, then.
Are you going to replace him with a soundboard eventually if he ever leaves?
I've done that once before.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Tim Curry.
And nobody noticed.
Pretty much. I'm,
do you have like
I'm...
a JD poop joke one?
I could. It would be very easy. JD's not with us this week because he's having a conjugal visit. Not sure with who, but he's having a conjugal visit.
Something poop-related.
What about a conjugal visit where you like just grammatically correct sentences?
That's the kind of operation the grammar Nazis run. One thing of news that interested me was, as bad as all the other suits in Tokyo Gear look, the foot soldiers, which we saw in the promo this past weekend, look completely awesome.
The snively
yes.
whiplashes or whatever.
I've expressed this a couple times already, but I really want to see them either team up or get in a fight with Masquerade Dopants.
Well, there is a chance for the new crossover movie, even if it does just say featured Super Sentai.
Probably just means the Tokyougers, right?
Yeah, they'll bring everyone together with the train.
Well, it certainly doesn't mean the Go-Busters.
If anything, they'll just have Yoko talking to a ball.
So it would be like the Go-Busters adapted into SPD?
Yes.
That could happen. We laugh, but it might actually be on Nick in 2016.
No, I don't think anyone was laughing, Paladin.
Everyone was crying.
Do you see any tears? Had to throw that in for JD's benefit.
But
Tokyo looks better in the suit.
Eh, not by much.
Because the legs aren't 5 feet wide.
Well, I mean, he has proportions like shaped like a torso rather than a shipping container.
That's basically what I'm saying. The legs are not 5 feet apart. So he actually looks like a body instead of, you know, a stack of long boxes.
Until they really pile even more shit on top of it.
Well,
yeah, but we don't really get much kicking with the suits these days anyway. Even Go-Busters didn't do much kicking. It was what they, when they did...
CG.
Yeah, only when CG, but
did
like...
we ever get much kicking in the suits?
I guess you could count Dire Ranger, but that's pretty cheating.
Remember, they had to lift the leg up on a big wire just so it could kick.
Yeah. I think sometimes they just pull the leg off the suit and not have anyone in the suit and just throw the leg out of the other monster.
Put a mannequin leg in it.
I think that kicking the Dark Ranger was a model anyway.
Probably, yeah.
But
we actually got to see the faces of the Tokyougers this week.
And Red's beautiful blowjob lips. That's all he looks like. He looks like Kiva with blowjob lips.
And better hair.
Yeah.
I kind of like the look of the cast, at least. They look...
They're copying Gokaidra and Shinkenja's casual forms.
Well, the actors don't look irritating in the face, unlike, say, the Go-Sagers.
It is point in their
favor.
Yeah,
there's nothing about these people that I hate yet.
I like how Jiro from Forza is in the team.
If you say so.
he's green Zum Jiro from Forza.
And apparently yellow
Meteor's,
is Meteor's girlfriend.
There's the picture of him just basically copying Gokaidra.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of...
Well, there are worse things for a series to do than copy Gokaidra.
I reckon blue looks really cool. Well, funny.
like Pink's insane pigtails. They look ill-adjusted.
And the fandom's already getting creepy about her.
When would they not, really? Yeah.
Is there a Pink Ranger that the fandom has not gotten creepy about?
Airy? Ghost Asia?
Well, okay.
I don't think she needed the fandom's help too much to suck.
She was the last one over 18 anyway, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was the last one of age. Actually, no. I think Iron was of age. I think she was just 18 as the show started.
Mm. Yeah, Gokaiger was great because everybody was getting creepy over Yellow in the suit, which was a dude.
Yeah, that was great. Just this look of despair on people's faces when they go, "Oh god, I've been jacking it off to a dude."
Yes, despair definitely awaits at that finish line.
Well, I imagine there's a lot of people who originally watched original Mighty Morphin and they discovered it was a boy character in and out of suit as well as not just in suit. Named Boy.
That was always the best part, too.
Yeah.
It was just like a big f*** you to the Western fandom unintentionally.
I mean, it's almost like they knew they wanted to have two girls in the Power Rangers cast, so somebody decided, well, this one's called Boy, let's just make that one the girl to be funny.
Have you guys already talked about who the crew is on Tokuga?
Yeah, that was last week. They seem to have put together a good crew for this. They've all got good experience.
Well, hopefully the producer they have now won't crumble to Toei's demands like...
Bandai's demands, like, more like.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Sentai always has a good year, then a shit year with toys. And Kyoryuga's been breaking records, so that's been the good year for Bandai, so that means they're going to have another year probably of a downer.
It's been breaking a lot of other things. I've read the reviews for Kyoryugen.
Oh, there have been a lot of breakages, haven't there, with the leg clips or whatever?
Yeah, the back clips are too fragile for the big combinations.
It's okay if you live in Japan, because they give you free replacements.
If you don't,
well...
Yeah, you're f***ed. If you don't, you just need to wait for the Zord Builder thing to come out in 5 years.
Where all the add-on Zords are turned into motorcycles.
Yeah, that's going to be great. that will f***ing happen, won't it?
Yes.
But remember, the add-on Zords, the smaller ones, are retools of the main ones.
Massive retools, though, massively, some of them. But I mean, Bandai of America must be just sitting in their chair going, can we just get to this one already? There's so many things we can release, so many figures. What do you mean? The next series only...
The Zord Resort again just to spite people.
Yeah. Like, if when they do get to Go Busters, I don't know why they didn't do it in Samurai, but they need to do what they used to do when they did like a ranger for a Zord that doesn't actually have anyone, like a corresponding one. Like, give the frog... Like, I know there was green in the actual... of a movie, but give one for the lion, give one for the frog, that kind of stuff. And bring in the ones from the movie in the actual show.
Yeah, pull another Jungle Fury.
Yeah.
You know, they could pull those suits in, couldn't they?
Yeah, if Toei lets them have them, yeah.
Yeah.
They could take the green hippos.
Toei not going to use them again. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, hippos and frogs are almost identical.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just like in RPM, chickens and eagles.
Like, I get why they don't think a rooster is a very impressive animal for being a Power Ranger, but that was still one of the worst stretches.
The power of the cock is the most powerful power.
But like, and Samurai should have got a Gobbler's intro quote.
But I mean, Samurai should have done a Beetle Ranger.
Jim's cock, it would explode.
Boom time!
And we can already picture his O face.
No, what you need now is like you need fan art of like him putting a Zecta belt on and getting like Tripto or whatever it was called and putting it in the belt and getting like some kind of weird rooster type armor and cover to then casting off to be like a different kind of cock.
That's the most complex joke that didn't involve Fort Max.
I try.
Yeah, but this was actually funny.
Jokes about different actors is always great. Anyway, Tokyo has the miniatures look pretty good in the little scene with the trains going.
I have a problem.
Glad of rails.
I have a problem with what we've seen so far with the miniatures work, and that's the train is not flying yet.
Yeah, I can see why that's a deal breaker for some people.
It needs to be some kind of huge Asgardian rainbow bridge or something in the sky they have to ride on.
No, it just needs to fly.
Oh, yeah.
They can jump off a giant ramp.
That lifts up out of the road, yeah.
Maybe towards the end of the series they'll get a carrier train that flies and drops them onto the rails.
A carrier train to carry the train.
Yes.
Maybe the giant train station.
You could do it. It would sell.
No, it's like the one in Deno, the one that has the train go inside of it.
The Kingliner.
Yeah. Kingliner.
Yeah. But like maybe if the new Sentai crossover movie with Kurira and all the dinosaur teams is popular, maybe next year they'll have it'll be Tokyuga, Go-Go 5, and and Go on Jap will do a crossover movie with all the trains. And maybe, was it Magi Shine that had the train?
Yeah,
that was him.
Yeah, he can go.
He used it to run over a regular sized monster once. That's the only reason I remember it.
God, I really want to watch Magi Ranger, but fuck TVN's end codes. That's like fucking eye cancer. It's so shit.
Magi Ranger isn't entirely their fault.
Oh, I know, but I watched
but
all
it's
Blade,
largely
and after that
fault.
I couldn't watch a TVN thing anymore.
I mean, the way the video is encoded is their fault, where it does not play on normal things without work.
Well, it's not just the encode, but it's like, if you have epilepsy and you try and watch, if you even look at the f***ing subtitles on a TVN thing, you're going to f***ing have a f***ing fit. No, seriously, subtitles on TVN, it's like a f***ing rave. A really shit rave.
This is the first time I've heard TV Nihon linked to epileptic attacks.
Well, we've attacked them for everything else. I'm trying to think of new ways. So, okay, we got them bullying other subgroups into submission. We've got them lying in their subs about where they spend their money. Them making up shit. What, Blade's 75% mistranslated. Shit encodes, shit times, and f***ing raves. I don't know.
I don't think the Blade mistranslations can be completely blamed on them because nobody knew what Kenzaki was saying.
Not even
the
Japanese had any idea what he was saying.
The
Japanese Wikipedia has a page on no one being able to understand anyone in Blade that actually meets notability requirements.
Wow.
Well, instead of mistranslating it, they should just have everything Kenzaki say be Tachibana-san and everything Garen says just be Sayako. And then just have a whole series just that, and Liangle can just say, I'm a dirty little f***ing bitch who no one likes.
That's pretty accurate. That's pretty accurate to the storyline, I mean...
Well, Liangle is the Milhouse of Blade. He even looks like Milhouse.
No, he's pretty much right.
And Chalice is, well... He's...
A pedophile?
He's the guy who... He's one of the people that post creepy stuff about Tokyo Pink, or Tokyo 5, or Tokyo Go, whatever the hell...
Are we talking about...
Chalice in the series.
Kamen Rider Chalice.
Because I don't know if you've seen Blade, but he hangs around with a 6-year-old girl.
I thought she was more like 9.
Well, so does Drake and Kabuto, but...
But Drake's gay,
yeah,
so
but
you didn't
somehow
have any
it's not creepy with Drake. Somehow it's not creepy with Drake, and I don't really get how that works, but...
Well, it's like, Drake...
I think
Drake...
it's that Drake is busy putting his penis in every other woman in the show, so he doesn't have time for her.
Well, it's basically Drake is openly hitting
woman,
everyone,
right.
And Drake... And Chalice is like ignoring the kid's mum.
Okay.
Actually, no, sorry. Chalice is attracted to one more person in the show, and his name is Kenzaki. Was there any other news?
Someone found some new listings for Super Mega Force and Legacy toys in Toys R Us computers.
Oh, Lord, the one item of
interest is Legacy Megazord Titan. For $200.
Meaning Legacy Megazord Series Titanus.
Which is totally going to be...
the option right now.
It is going to be a mix and morph Titanus done completely in solid diecast from head to toe.
With Zord Builder connection ports all over it.
I mean, it would need...
going to weigh 40 pounds.
It would need retooling to be able to make the Ultra Zord anyway, so...
Yeah.
The other legacies are $80. Titanus would have to be about twice as big to sell. So
No. It would need more mass. But if it was motorized again, you know, there's some of your money.
If it's going to be $200 for you, how much is it going to be for me?
About 400.
Wait, what if it's Space Titanus?
Maybe it's convertible between regular Titanus and Space Titanus.
Maybe Space Titanus will be the same.
And maybe like a third dildo option to snap onto the front of it.
Well, that's kind of... Well, yeah, that's part of the Space Titanus.
No, but just cut out the subtext and just go straight for the real deal.
Haven't they abused
what
that
subtext
mold so
is
much
there?
Now?
It's a rocket.
Well, it doesn't vibrate.
They could modify
the electronics for it. Then
they could add some extra gearing and put another setting on the switch so that it rolls backward and forward a couple inches.
It already has spring motion in the rocket.
You just rip open a Genesis driver, put the gears into that, and then you'll have a thrusting spinning rocket.
Best podcast of the year.
But I mean, how many they've abused the crap out of that mold, haven't they, for Titanus? It must be decrepit and broken by now.
Yeah, well, it wouldn't surprise me.
By abusing the crap out of, you mean they used it 3 times?
Yeah. Well, 2.5
Fair
times.
Are there uses of giant Zord molds?
2.5 times, because Space Titanus was missing like half the parts. It was basically just the core body.
But can the legacy? I haven't really paid attention to the legacy dragon Zord that much. But can it do the Ultra Zord formation? Like when it's just a shoulder ornament?
We don't know. Nobody has one.
They said it could.
Yeah,
but that doesn't really mean shit with Bandai.
It does the Mega Dragon Zord, which is its Ultra Zord formation anyway.
The way the Dragon Zord is designed, you'd have to like really. Especially intentionally set out to keep it from making that form.
Is that really the last legacy
this is
item
banned
you can
on.
Do?
That's why I said it wasn't impossible for it, Mac. I just said that it would take like special determination to accomplish that.
Well, no, not really. All I have to do is just make it so that say if you take out a center core, you just snap off the chest piece.
Good point. Of course, if it's hollow inside, then it still wouldn't necessarily matter.
Anyway, it seems like the last legacy they would do, because what else is left?
There's only, the gun and the Thunder Slinger? Is that really it?
We
got that for one episode.
Yeah, I really doubt we would get a legacy Thunder Slinger.
But you reckon they would touch the other seasons at all?
After what they're doing with the figure arts, maybe it's not so impossible.
Some legacy Thunder Zords would be a massive improvement over the originals.
Maybe?
The original toys are crap. They don't hold together for shit.
No, I understand that. I'm not exactly sure what they would do to like remake them to be Zord Builder compatible because of the way it's designed to combine originally.
Yeah. Not that I'd say no to a new legacy release of the Thunder Megazord.
Didn't they always have like little crystals
that would lose? That work within
they had little crystals and little ranger figures that were really easy to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And the clips that held the lion chest piece in place that were really easy to break.
I know, JD's trying to build himself up a Thunder Megazord, and it's like, yeah, good luck getting a Thunder Zord Assault Team in one piece.
I mean, and finding a white Tiger Zord that
isn't
brown? Missing every accessory.
Well, apparently I have a unicorn in my house then, because mine are complete, and my white Tiger Zord is in pristine shape. It's not even yellow.
Well,
I assume you would have a unicorn, considering that's one of the ones on the team.
Shut the hell up, Cormax. I hate you.
Also, you have a pristine white tiger sword. Could I give you half the parts off mine?
That's true. I will not deny that.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's not original.
it's all like original parts, monster. Just not from the same piece.
Yeah, so it's a Frankenstein monster.
It doesn't have like
it's
any.
It's not yellow or brown though. That's an important thing.
And it doesn't have any reproduction parts on it. So.
If they do
the Thunder Zord, it would be hilarious when they charge you $200 for a box.
A diecast Tor, can you imagine?
Legacy Tor.
A diecast Tor would be perfect for recreating the finishing move.
Wouldn't it just be every single unsold Tor?
Because you know, drop that thing on a cat, man, and I mean that's going to explode everywhere.
Man, Tor would make a great arms for a Gaim Rider.
It wouldn't pass the drop test. It would just ruin the curve for everything else.
It wouldn't pass the drop test. It would break the drop test, so they couldn't use it anymore.
Just paint Metroplex's box green. No,
you can set the Thunder Zord assault team on top of it, and you can put the White Tiger Zord inside it.
Yeah?
It will not fit on any damn shelf you own.
So, also accurate to the originals.
Do you think they would ever do the combined weapons at all as a legacy? Do they still have to get past kid ratings, even if they're collector items?
That's hard. Yeah. Okay, I'm not sure about that, though, because, you know, they're doing the Dragon Dagger, which is going to be bigger than the original. It's got die-cast parts in it, and it's a giant knife.
It's also not a gun.
And it's
But is it like...
That's not exactly a kid price point.
But is edges?
I don't know.
Again, we don't know. Nobody has one.
Really? It's honed steel around the edges.
I mean, that's what I wanted, but I'm not
sure
that's
what we're
getting.
You can slice cherry blossoms with it.
It's actually a cattle prod. Every time you try and play the flute, you just get shocked in your tongue or something in your mouth and die. It's a clever ploy by Jason David Frank to kill everyone.
Have they said if the Dragon Dagger, is it going to be a working flute?
I doubt it.
$80, I would probably pay $80 for a working flute Dragon Dagger.
I don't think the original
mold was a working flute, was it?
No.
You could blow into the Jew Ranger one and make this, and the sound would
trigger. No, it was a button on the flute piece
with your mouth to get it to actually.
Yeah, the mouth piece was a button that started up the electronics.
You had to tongue
the button. That's never true. I hear heaps of people say
that's
that.
That's just
that never happens.
The lightsaber handle one, you actually do blow into it.
That's why you shouldn't buy one of those used.
Right.
Why the f*** did they give it a lightsaber handle?
Because awesome. And also Bandai.
It's like a freaking someone's Green Ranger cross with Star Wars fic. Oh, Tommy managed to master the Force, and now he's a Jedi. And then he f***ed Padme.
By someone's, do you mean Jason David Franks?
Yeah.
The thing that interests me about the Dragon Dagger lightsaber bit is that it's not round, it's diamond-shaped. I've never seen an extendable lightsaber in that shape before.
Maybe Lucas has the copyright on every other time.
It just seems like they went to a lot of extra engineering for no discernible reason on it.
Yeah, Lucasfilm has a copyright on the shape round.
Circles.
Did we have any other news?
Oh yes, there's a release date for Power Rangers Season 13 through 17, the last of Shout's big box sets. April 1st for $129.99. For 2.25 seasons actually worth owning.
I like it how they got Overdrive as the middle one.
Well, they have to. It's moving chronological from left to right.
I know, but it just seems like a big to you guys.
Chronological from left to right.
Yeah, so it's got Decca, Maggi, Overdrive. I just mixed up Western and Eastern. Me. But yeah.
That's going to be so long for the single release of RPM.
If they do it at all, because last I heard from Shout, they weren't planning on those.
Well, this is what I don't get. Like, Shout will do those single half releases for Beetleborgs and VR Troopers, and then they didn't sell or whatever. But I mean,
yeah, because nobody wants VR Troopers or VR Beetleborgs.
But I mean, they won't do single releases. They'll just do these huge box sets, but not single releases. Because, I mean, with a show of so many seasons, people are going to f***ing pick and choose what they f***ing want to buy.
Exactly.
Or they think no one will buy. Like, these are basically, this is basically the Disney box set, isn't it, really?
Pretty much, mostly.
Missing one or two seasons, isn't it? Oh, just Hurricanger, isn't it? Oh, not Hurricane. Ninja Storm, whatever the f*** it's called.
Ninja Storm, Dino Thunder, and technically Wild Force, too.
Oh, yeah. But so this is basically the big Disney box set, and like new fans, like I know fans who grew up with Disney stuff and they like it, but I mean most of the older MMPR fans aren't even going to touch it really, except for RPM, aren't they?
Probably.
And SPD.
So SPD was actually pretty good as well, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
That's right.
Blowing ball notwithstanding.
Yeah.
We must always make an exception for the glowing ball.
Intro quote.
Objection. Well, he was trolling for an intro quote.
Sustained.
You could say he's...
The Tokyo discussion without a train pun.
You could say everything Paladin says is trolling for something.
Yeah, all out on the case of good behavior for no puns.
Well, you know.
You guys
and finally, the detail of Hero Magazine gave us an excellent look at the new Energy Rider costumes for Kamen Rider Guy.
Yeah, those were some really cool-ass photos.
I love
the detail they're putting into these suits.
Yeah, but America's got like
when you realize some of the changes they're doing, like the energy lock seeds they use. Those locks aren't locks. They're bendy straws.
Exactly.
Oh, that's amazing. I did not notice that.
Yeah, the drivers in the suits are full of straws, and you can see all the carbonated bubbles in the visors.
And the energy driver is voiced by Lock-On.
Who's that?
From Gundam 00.
Okay.
I have always voiced by the professor dude. So, what, the guy who has Sengoku is his last name. Or Warring as his last name. But I do like how the girl has a loincloth to hide any possible dick.
Well, and going back to what we were talking about, I guess that was in pre-show. You know, if it came down to having Peach, whatever, as just a straight reuse of the Ryugen body, or to not have one at all, I mean, what would you prefer there?
I'd be fine with the Ryugen body. Like, I have no f***ing idea how this peach is going to fold down, or the lemon, or the f***ing cherry.
Yeah, this kind of puts a crimp in the arms change if you have no idea how they can actually armor up.
Well, like, of course, Duke looks like a remold of Mango Arms, mostly because of the cape.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a giant lemon that splits off into a cape.
You would assume they have to remold those costumes a bit just to get around their budget limitations, so I can see that making sense.
Yeah.
Well, even Duke, he's meant to be semi-Baron-based, but he's got these giant, like, Batman-style blades on his fire armor.
Now, the only one whose identity we don't know right now is Sigurd, the Cherry Rider.
With the big fairy arms.
They are saving lots of money by giving them all the same terrible bow weapon.
It's actually a pretty cool toy, I reckon.
It looks like a cheap toy rather than a weapon, because it's got the plunger attached to the arrow bit.
Bow weapons are really hard to get right in terms of roleplay toys.
They're basically impossible to get right in terms of roleplay toys.
That's why we haven't had one in Blade since, Blade. Really?
Has it been since then?
I think so. There was Kiva Arrow, which never got a deluxe toy. I think quite sure it was because Kabuto didn't have a bow at all in any of the riders. Who did Hibiki and you got the crossbow gun for Zerunus.
But crossbow is a very different kind of animal.
Because it's supposed to have a shaft running through the string.
You always know you got to work the shaft.
And anyway, I mean, it's just a spread out sword, so.
I mean, I think Sigurd's like the first rider we've had that has big fur shins and wrists.
Soon he'll be noticing girls.
Depending who he's in the suit, maybe.
So, does Japan have like a different breed of peach than we do? Because all our peaches, they don't look like normal peaches we get from Georgia or whatever.
They're more pink than
orange. And yeah, they're always shaped slightly different.
I think they are a bit different, like a bit lighter.
Yeah, their watermelons are different than ours. Yeah. They're all cute and round, and ours are big old testicle-sized things.
Yeah, just Googling all their peaches are like a lot pinker and butt-shaped and that. But this is the second peach rider we've ever had.
I wonder if Momo.
Oh,
yeah.
I wonder if Momo will ever go up to her in the crossover movie and start abusing her. In verbal.
No, she would be abusing him. That's just typically how that goes.
Oh, good point.
He would try, though.
But I do wonder if they're going to make Duke be a dickhead to Baron, because Duke's meant to be a higher ranking than Baron. And he's got little crown on and shit. His little tiara.
I kind of love how Zangetsu's already the most powerful of all the riders, and he's the first one to get an upgrade.
Yeah, he hasn't even done a f***ing finisher in his old suit. He beat everyone.
You think he might die soon.
He transformed twice in his old suit on screen. I mean,
Was it twice? I thought it was only once.
You went, Takatora, you're not powerful enough. Here's more gear.
Okay, if it's only once, that's even worse then.
Yeah, I think it was only once. They haven't said he got rid of his other drive. Like, he might get his Genesis driver nicked or something, and he has to go back to his old suit.
Or, okay, well, Genesis drivers can be used with the Warring drivers.
Yeah, so he can
Genesis
be even more powerful.
Drivers. They apparently don't lock per user.
Yeah.
Which probably
really
explains Time gets one later in the series. And no, that's not a f***ing spoiler.
Yeah. Well, that's what's in the toy scans and all that shit anyway. But, it's like, yeah, because it's really cool how the Sengoku driver, when you put the Genesis driver plate in, it delays the sound of the other lock purposely and does the different sounds. It's very noisy and very confusing, but it is pretty cool. Genesis driver has that really loud gear sound, though.
So, like the mechanical sound drowns out the electronics?
Only when it's filling up the juice container, yeah.
Well, that's always a loud process. I mean,
does it actually fill up with real liquid, or how does that work?
It fills up with light.
Ah, how does
it's
that work?
It's like a system of LEDs and like a kind of gear if it goes up and down, like a drill, spiraling
drill.
Okay,
it's a screw.
Yeah, like a screw. Yeah, but it's pretty good. It senses it knows what locks in it, so it'll do like orangish for Zangetsu, it'll do yellow for the lemon, which looks like urine. And then,
or Mountain Dew, which looks like urine.
Yep, and I think the cherry lock seeds out. Not this weekend, next weekend. So there'll be the cherry one will be plugged in and
blue
will come out.
That would be raspberry. Yep. Thank you.
I still cannot get over they're actually releasing a toy for a female rider mass release with the peach lock seed. That's actually Bandai's. Actually, it's a small step. It's a small as hell step, but they're actually taking a step towards.
That's probably because in the show it's only going to barely be associated with her.
But I don't think anyone else is going to be using her arms.
Maybe not the arms, but maybe as a power-up.
It depends on who she hooks up with.
Well, if you go by it, like the way the armor styles look, it would be Gaim uses Zangetsu's energy log seed as a combination. Rugen would use Peach because the same Chinese motif, and Baron would use Lemon because of Western, and I guess Gridon is kind of Norse-like, so you'd use Sigurd's maybe? I have no idea. Yeah. But yeah, that's still pretty cool.
And that's pretty much it for news this week, I think.
You got the Armor Hero dub.
I repeat, that's pretty much it for news this week, I think.
The Armor Hero dub is notable because they actually dubbed the theme song.
Oh, really? I haven't actually watched it yet.
When I found out about that, I couldn't not go look.
Is it good?
It's Armor Hero.
So yes.
The main hero character, the dragon themed one, the dub voice sounds like Saban's Masked Rider. Kind of threw me for a minute. I couldn't find any credits for who the dub cast was, though. So.
They don't want to be remembered.
Do you want to be remembered for Armor Hero?
No.
It was just a bunch of guys in the bar that needed a drink. Hey, can I borrow you for 5 minutes? I'll buy you a beer if you do this voice for me. It actually was the guy who did Saban's Mask Rider. Hey, do you want some? You want some cocaine?
I was kind of wondering if it was just the same group that does the dubs of Kamen Rider and Ryukendo.
Oh yeah, the Singaporean groups or whatever,
or Malaysian.
Yeah,
I forget.
Let's go with that.
Or Philippines.
It's the same thing, right?
Southeast Asian.
Now it would be great if the Dragon Ball Z abridged people did a dub of Otoku.
They did. They actually... called the Ginyu Force.
What an actual full show.
They could edit them into a full show. I'm pretty sure someone already has.
Man, off topic. Toku Nation is a of f***ing pony avatars. Jesus Christ.
Can't you get that fixed?
I believe they should all be fixed.
I'm sorry. Yeah, as soon as you upload a pony avatar, people actually come to your house and de-sex you. You're not allowed to breed anymore, I'm sorry.
With bolt cutters.
Yeah, with bolt cutters, but just having to be electrified and on fire.
Like, I really have a hard time thinking that bronies breeding is a credible risk.
Okay, funny Christmas story regarding bronies. You can keep it. No, seriously, this is hilarious.
And so, Gobbleton's presence on this episode is completely justified in that one sentence.
Okay, this happened this Christmas. So my niece, she's only 2 years old. She got given a pony toy for Christmas. And I basically said to, I was like going to my mum, oh, didn't my sister have to fart it off a 30-year-old creeper at the f***ing Toys R Us or something? And she's like, what are you talking about? And then my brother's girlfriend leans over the table and goes, he means there's people out there that want to f*** ponies. to my mum in the middle of like Christmas lunch, I started pissing myself laughing. It's so funny and true.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my crappy story.
Excellent.
That's Christmas.
Christmas in summer.
Fucking man, it's actually hot today as well. Jesus.
Hell, f*** you.
Yeah, so I thought all
of... Has it been extra cold in US at the moment or some shit?
It's negative 17 right now.
It's
in Celsius or Fahrenheit?
I hate you all, you f***ers.
Yeah, it's even cold in Texas.
I feel like the state that you're in is, like, almost constantly in a state of snow. Or am I getting my states mixed up again?
No, that's pretty close.
It's never usually this bad, though.
If by snow you mean crime.
If snow is another word for poverty...
Is snow
poverty.
Slang for a white man crime wave or something? It's snowing outside.
When it isn't snow, it's ashes from trash can fires.
And raccoons. Don't forget the raccoons.
Raccoon fires?
Raccoon fires?
Yes.
I guess that's what's burning in the trash cans.
That's the next Mario.
Well, they fall into the trash cans. They can't get back out, and the fire's already going, so they just ignite.
Then they run into someone's house. Who's committing crime? Into their meth lab?
No, nobody has houses in there anymore. They've all abandoned them.
Just meth labs?
Yeah, pretty much.
Go to the real estate agents, just got all these pictures of meth labs up for sale.
That's okay, you can live here for a few months before you get cancer.
Now you're nicer than most of the residents.
Oh, really?
Really?
That's because you're not from Detroit.
All I know about Detroit is Robocop.
That's surprisingly close to the truth.
Yeah.
The only difference is, real Detroit's not as funny.
It's just sad, isn't
it? There ain't shit you can buy for a dollar.
Is it people that look like they have acid sprayed on their face? And get hit comically by cars?
Ah, shit.
Because, so, I'm guessing Paladin is in the north of, near northeast of America? Or north of America?
Center.
North center of America? And the rest of you are all south, aren't you?
We've got a region we call the Midwest, and he's in the north part of that.
Oh, okay. And you guys are all the south. Everyone else is the south.
Yes, basically, yeah.
Okay, yep.
Well, now, JD's pretty much dead center.
Oh, is he?
He's not too far from Fort Max.
Oh, that's why he always has the tornadoes. Like, when there's, cyclones here, they just go out to sea and disappear.
Yeah, Oklahoma is notorious for tornadoes, 13 and a half months out of the year.
Yeah.
Lousy smarch tornadoes.
So, you know, it's just kind of the price you pay for living there.
Now, Paladin has crime, JD has tornadoes, Fort Max has cowboys, and we have meth labs.
Fort Max has racism.
No, we all have racism. It's America.
Oh, okay.
Exactly.
White people.
What the f*** do I have, then?
Damn Eskimos.
Coming to Texas and taking all their jobs.
You have spiders that try to kill you. Like another third of the animal population that wants you dead.
Yeah.
Are Bushmen still a real thing, or are they sort of integrated into everything?
Oh, you mean Bushmen kind of Steve Irwin, except with the actual bush and not animals kind of deal?
Like actual aboriginal type people.
Oh, yeah, there's still some practicing tribes in.
So some of them
areas.
Are still fighting to retain their culture despite.
Some do. Sometimes it's not. There's a lot of stuff that I probably should not get into on a podcast. But there's a few.
Do you know what podcast you're on?
I I know, but there's like a few Aboriginal communities around here. Some are fine. Some get treated pretty badly. We need to get treated better. But then there's some that have like huge amounts of child rape and shit happening, and they need to be shut down, kind of deal.
Wow.
Basically, it's like you can't really compare it to what happened to the American Indians and all that stuff. It's really different here and really weird.
It is Australia.
Because I thought Mickey was talking about bush rangers, where people used to hold up cars and stuff. Like Ned Kelly. Well, that's carts, not cars.
No, you have to understand we're Americans, so, you know, Bushmen and Aboriginals are...
we only half know what we're talking about at any given moment. We just act like we do.
Well, right. let me give you an example of... I'm just going to see if I can get the scientific name as well for it, but that's going to be... Let me give you an example of old Australia, which we've had to change. Okay. Now, we have these bushes here called... The scientific name apparently is Xanthohoria. I can't pronounce it, so f*** that. It's called grass trees now. They're called grass trees. Now, what do you think the old name was?
Is it something offensive?
It's something very offensive.
Okay, so...
They used to be called, by old racist Australia, I'm going to stress that part much as I can, they were called black boys. Yes, and that's science.
I was expecting something much worse, to be honest.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I was too. I mean, that's not good by any
standard. No, but
that seems kind of tame for Australia.
Yeah, but I'll copy and paste in the
that's
wiki UI.
That's kind of tame for America, too, actually.
Yeah. This is why it's called that. I just copy and paste it for you.
That makes more sense, but still, as far as names go.
I still think it's pretty racist. I reckon it's pretty racist. You have to call them grass. You call them grass trees now. Which just sounds stupid, but it's better than
the American terms. That's not even up to the level of a football team.
Yeah.
Well, no, we have a candy here called Redskins, but they removed all the Native American imagery off it a few years ago. But it's made by Willy Wonka here.
What do they taste like?
It's basically a hard candy. But it tastes like almost. I think it's like a bit cherry flavored. It's really nice if you melt them in vodka, because you put them in vodka, it melts, and you get this like vodka like candy drink. But they're really hard. They're really hard candy, and if you bite into it, you'll slit your gums. So you let them sit out in the sun for a bit, and they get really soft and really nice.
Even your candy's f***ing dangerous.
Dude, we have Kinder Surprises, which apparently got banned in America for a few years. They're from Europe, of course, but...
Yeah.
And they're toys.
You can't have non-food items hiding inside of food in America.
So does that mean if you have some cereal, the toy has to be in the box, not in the bag of cereal?
Sometimes, yes. But it has to be bagged, like inside a separate bag, I believe.
Yeah.
It has to be a bag within a bag in a box.
Yeah.
Right. Or someone could choke on it and die.
Well, I think even ice cream containers now have a plastic seal around the ice cream so people can't open it up at the shops and put crap in it or something.
Or just touch it.
Yeah.
I mean,
or put a syringe of AIDS into it.
Well, that's good value.
Yeah. Anyway, I've probably been talking too much about crappy old Australia. We should probably talk about weeklies, I'm guessing. Maybe? No? Yes?
Well, weekly, we only have Gaim.
Don't you guys talk about
Gaim? Gaim is more than enough.
No.
Oh, you guys suck.
We haven't talked about Kiryu during like 30 weeks.
Really? I thought JD liked it.
Yeah, but we don't, and we override them, so.
Yeah, this is just like how you guys destroy Fanboy Versus.
We outvote JD on a regular basis.
Did you vote to have Fanboy Versus destroyed then?
If by vote you mean crush his self-esteem until we reach the point where he doesn't want to do it anymore, then yes, we voted to have Fanboy Versus go away.
Wow.
In American terms, that counts as voting.
You guys are the cuntiest cunts that ever cunted a cunt.
Voting is violent.
I'm not bleeping any of that.
Good.
So, time for Gaim.
Hooray!
Episode 11. Mickey?
Oh, fine. Let me lean up to the computer and try to remember what episode 11 was.
Hey, you had last week off, so you should expect this.
All right. This is the one where Gaim did stuff, right?
The lock competition in Helheim.
What the shit is this?
What?
My computer is opening up multiple videos at once for some stupid reason.
Because it's a Mac?
Probably. It opened up episode 9 and 11. Even only one episode. Okay, whatever. No one cares.
It opened up 9/11.
Oh, God, it did.
This is the 9/11 of podcasts.
Wow, dude. Wow.
Is that too offensive?
I'll decide later.
Not for us.
I don't have a fucking clue about this episode. I'm scanning through. I don't remember any of this shit.
It's only been 2 weeks. So basically, Zangetsu just bees all sexy and shit, and that's all what happened.
Yeah, I don't recall any of this. Apparently, they're still in Helheim and fighting, I think.
Well, the week before was...
They were going to get their lock seeds, but then it all went to shit when Kurokage took on Baron, and then Bravo came out to fight.
Well, Bravo was before...
Yeah, I'm not going to do this any kind of justice at all, because basically all the thing I remember is the very end of the episode where they left.
I can try.
Okay, go for it.
Like last, the one before this one was everyone bailed on Rugen because they hated him. They got on their bikes and off. And then Gaim had to use the watermelon arms, destroy the monsters. Then they all went to the forest. And so they're in the forest. I'm going by memory, of course. Coda's basically observing everyone. He's not actually participating in it at all.
Because he wants to find the hazmat base.
He wants to find all the Yggdrasil guys. So as he's observing, basically, Kurokage gets his ass handed to him by... Oh, who was it?
Stiff Freeze.
Bravo first.
Bravo first, that's right. Bravo kicked his butt first, and he landed in some bushes, I think. It wasn't a river, but it was close. Then it was after a few more kind of moments of everyone just observing what's happening, we had Baron starting his fight against Bravo.
Yes, Baron whips out his giant banana, and Bravo was strong enough to hold it back.
And he wanted to peel his armor off and see what's inside while gyrating in a circle motion.
This is one of the best images I've gotten from this series.
Oh, it gets better.
Bravo thrusting against the screen.
And the Acer used it as the default image file when they released the episode, too.
Bravo's great. Their fight's actually pretty good because Baron got his ass handed to him back when Bravo first got introduced, so he really wants to kick his ass, but he can't seem to really do anything.
He does a little bit better with mango arms.
Yeah. But while they're fighting, Ornak... Do you guys say Ornak or Gridon?
Either.
Okay, Gridon is just observing, looking at them fight, and there's a lock seed right next to his f***ing head, and he's not taking it. And he that just pisses me off. He's like, I'm going to go collect lock seeds. There's one right f***ing next to your head, you duck. Anyway... As he was
never exactly been the smart guy.
He's supposed to be the smart one.
Well, you can only take lock seeds when they're ripe, otherwise they won't transform properly.
Well, that one looked ripe-ish. But as he was...
No. He's transformed right now, remember?
Oh, so he becomes an idiot when he's transformed? Well,
he doesn't know how to do anything other than hide behind stuff when he's transformed.
Yeah. Well, and climb up trees in a second. But as he's observing them...
Some Zangetsu.
Well, Kurokage comes and covered in grass first and stuff to talk to him. Then they piss off their separate ways again from memory, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then, yeah, Zangetsu, he tries to, get sneaked.
Which is going to bite him in the ass.
But then, yeah, he tries to do it. He climbs up in the tree and tries to do a surprise. He attacks some mooks, some of the invest first, but he tried to do... Was it a Dong Dongli Ole? Dongriole. But as everyone in this episode, he gets his ass handed to him by Zangetsu. Just by using his shield, I think, as well. Basically lays down, like, I guess it'd be LA cop kind of beat down kind of deal.
Zangetsu's shoulder armor is floppy as f***.
Yeah, I think it's the right shoulder. Almost looks like it's about to fly off and hit the cameraman in the f***ing head. So yeah, first fight, Gridon gets his ass kicked to him. If you freeze frame some scenes, Sangetsu's actually using the back of his sword when he's fighting, but I'm not too sure if he does that every single time.
Hmm. Well, he wants these guinea pigs kept alive, right?
And he doesn't want to damage the belt.
Mm-hmm.
He's also going to bite someone in the ass.
But as the fights continue, he fights, he basically kicks Gridon's ass, he kicks both Baron and... Bravo's ass, and Bravo falls in love with the best guitar sounds for his love hearts. And he's completely smitten. by Zangetsu, which is even better in the next episode. But but yeah, he falls in love.
Later.
Yep, he falls in love and he goes out fighting. And
Zangetsu immediately beats the f*** out of him.
Yep, and he seemed to really enjoy it, so that really shows what kind of fetish he has.
Yes, I'm pretty sure Bravo really does want Zangetsu to beat the f*** out of him.
Would not doubt that in any way.
Well, isn't the inside of a durian white?
I have no idea.
Seen a durian.
All I know is durians smell really bad.
Not like anyone around here sells durians.
They use them for crime instead.
So, Kota snuck in to, you know, observe the scientist in the forest.
Metal Gear Orange.
The Windbreaker.
Yeah. And, like, I don't know if it's every single Japanese show has the part-timer trope, no matter what show you watch. It's like no one has full-time work in Japan.
So it's just like America.
Well, they don't even have part-time work.
If they don't have part-time work, they definitely don't have full-time work.
Yeah. But as BF Hellman was saying, he does full-on Metal Gear Orange, sneaks in with his doing his funny expressions, which I'm glad he still does. Kota has some of the best faces ever.
Yeah.
Okay, the term Metal Gear Orange just makes me want to see a cardboard box with a hole cut in it for his horn.
I think the guy who designs Voltex did that on his Twitter account. But as he sneaks in, he sees all the lock seeds everywhere, and he starts overhearing and watching the scientists observing everyone and calling them guinea pigs.
Loose lips sink ships.
Yeah, you'd think a big company like this would have some kind of non-disclosure agreement, which they're not allowed to talk about it in public anywhere.
Well, they're at work.
They're at work in the magic LSD forest where nobody else should be able to be in.
The magic forest that made Hibiki's budget go over, but apparently Gaim's allowed to have it.
For now.
Yeah. But they're discussing high-level shit in front of the part-time workers who probably got a side job cooking fries.
The part-time 17 and 19-year-old worker who looks
they're
like
they're trustworthy.
They probably plan to kill all the part-timers after their assignments are up.
The part-timers are in
the door and leave them in the forest.
Yeah.
But you know, if what we're thinking about the lock seeds and people eating them is true, they could just be more experimentation later.
Yeah. Maybe the energy riders, energy juice and the riders made from the part-timers, let's put them into a blender. Hey, we want to promote you the full-time push. It's like that Simpsons episode with the giant blender in the Treehouse of Horror one. It's just a giant blender like that, and they just keep pushing part-timers in, and that fills up the juicer belts.
Or that one Garo episode. Not to be confused with that one episode of Voyager.
That one episode of Voyager with the giant blender? But as he's getting all freaked out by hearing stuff and watching stuff, he sees on the TV that Zangetsu is trying to bat the face off with Michi. And Michi still is being all, is he my brother? Is he not my brother? He f***ing is your brother. So they have almost a early Heisei Rider fight when no one actually talks or solves any problems with words. And he manages just to get away by complete luck. And you guys probably have mentioned it, but why the f*** does Brugen never use his f***ing gun?
Because like, he's a rider that has a gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It means he can't aim worth shit.
But I mean, the suit actor looked really uncomfortable the episode before this using the Kiwi chakras. Like, they look too heavy.
The Kiwi,
but he doesn't hit anything with those either.
Yeah, Michi's not got much of a kill count going. I think he's got one invest kill and that's it, maybe, or two.
Yeah, because his role's more strategist than fighter.
He's basically like, he's like Kengo in that way, I guess, from Forza. But he won't. He'll be Mari. Not Mai will be the plot point person of the season, like Kengo and like Philip was.
Yeah,
I still think that Michi's going to switch over to Zangetsu's side before too long.
That or Zangetsu will die, and it'll make him change sides or something stupid like that, or some like I don't want. Like I really don't want Zangetsu to die, and I don't think he will die. I reckon it'll be like I reckon he will be get injured maybe, but I don't think he'll die. They're still limited to what they can do in a kid's show.
Well, if that battle in the first episode was actually a flash forward, like they said, that does mean Ryugen and Zangetsu will wind up on the same side.
But that may just be, you know, the bad end.
Of course, that also means Gridon will wind up on Baron's side, and that might not be possible at this point.
Well, I think the interview they said it's a possible future or something. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, but the keyword was future.
Yeah, it's kind of like the Ride of War in at the start of the decade. Like, it didn't play out exactly like that. But it did.
You mean the series will end on that and we never get a real resolution?
if it's like any other Urobuchi, whatever the hell, the Butcher's series, he'll get the show. Urobutcher, he'll be popular and he'll get like 20 movies. He'll be Deno again.
Deno, I'm going to allow this.
But yeah, Zangetsu kicks Michi's shit, and before he can lay down a final smackdown, he gets called away because they're getting attacked by Inves. All these little Inves are trying to attack the camp. And everyone's freaking out, and they're actually using real machine guns to try and kill them, which is always...
Are they working? That's kind of the surprising part.
I think they were kind of working, but they weren't killing. They were like, just getting them off them. But Gaim starts freaking out. Why should I help these guys? And then he does transform and still has a bit of a meltdown, thinking, why the f*** should I be helping these guys? And
I like that he actually considers it, but he's still the big enough person that he can help save them, even though they're complete douchebags.
Yeah, Code is actually is quite likable and got some decent morals behind him.
I like that he has that much depth to him.
They've actually, like, and his fighting skill shows that he's learning every week. Like, he actually knows what the f*** he's doing now.
Yeah,
rather than...
I wouldn't go that far.
No, I think he still does. The one thing
he's learned
really
that he has powers and he can use them to kill things.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, how long did it take till Edgy knew what to do? Episode 50?
40?
And the show was only 48 episodes long?
I think the movie that Sakamoto directed.
Bizarro Edgy. Because technically every single O's movie is not in the O's universe. Even that one's technically not. Anyway, the thing I really liked about this episode is they did leave it how the watermelon Lockseed did lose its energy, but he picked up another one from the camp. So they're actually keeping their own rules. They actually have some rules in this universe, and they're keeping to them.
And then after this, does that mean they have two of them between them now?
I think they gave it to Sid after they were used with it.
Oh, that's well,
that's
yeah, probably
the one they got for the contest. So
yeah,
by
yeah.
the rules, it would have to go to Sid.
Yeah. But
maybe they gave him the burned out ones and kept one of the regular ones for themselves.
Yeah, but it only takes like a few days to refuel, it seems.
And meanwhile, Zangetsu's interrupted at rescuing everyone at the camp because of Kurakage.
Yeah, the dumb I mean, the melon lock seed's number 7, the pine cone's number 1. Do basic math, you dickhead. There's a lock seed above pine cone. Walnut, which is number 2, which doesn't have a rider, but that's higher ranked than Kurakage. The only thing lower ranked than Kurakage is Sunflower Seed.
I still want to see someone transform using that.
Yeah. Sadly, the freaking
toys. Like, they just become Georgian.
Like, even if it has to wait until, you know, SIC in 5 years, and it's just a magazine thing, I still want to see the Sunflower-based Gaim armor.
SIC Gaim will be a real orange you have to buy, and then you put it on the head, and then it comes down.
Okay, it'd be
so
classic it's Giga Mr. Beetle Potato
Gaim.
Head.
Yeah, it's Giga Beetle style. No,
yeah,
SIC,
I kinda wish that...
SIC Bravo will be awesome.
If it exists. But unfortunately,
Zangetsu
refuses to pull his punch this time, and Kurakage's warning driver is shattered.
It seems more like he did it by accident because he was in such a hurry. Like, he didn't want it. Like, he was really
pissed off. Yeah, Kurakage was coming at him too fast and too hard to let him go gentle, knocking him back.
Well, that's the best part about Zangetsu. This guy does his f***ing finisher on him, and Zangetsu just f***ing blows it off. So it's like, eh.
Well, his finisher isn't exactly that impressive either.
No.
Yeah, it's like it's like trying to be like Kung Lao from Mortal Kombat, only suckier.
Impressive.
he just spin. Like, I love the Kurakage suit and I love Hase-chan, but when he's in the suit, he's like I like that he's overzealous, but he's a bit dumb.
Yeah.
He's always a bit dumb.
I'd comment more on that, but I'm not gonna spoil episode 12 for anyone.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of what kind of riders would have been like him in the past, and I guess he's like Deno platform.
He's like a zealous Deno platform. Who thinks he can actually do
stuff. Yeah, he's a platform that thinks he can fight instead of knowing he can't.
But as he shatters the belt...
Platform, but if it was controlled by Momotaros.
So just angry, but no power. That's like the first... No, wasn't that. The first episode wasn't that. But anyway, as they're fighting, Garm does do watermelon arms again. He actually gets to see gyro mode, which gyro mode looks pretty good. Like the CG...
The part I like, though, is he flies through the portal back to Yggdrasil headquarters, and everybody thinks that it's Zangetsu piloting it.
Yeah, I thought that was a real nice touch. Because, like, they asked for him to come back, and you can't really see who's in the armor.
Yeah.
Plus, they look similar, except the color.
And he's kind of kicking some ass, so, you know, easy mistake to make.
Yeah.
And Takatora is not happy to find that out when he walks back through the portal.
They're like, hey, weren't you in the watermelon arms? What the f*** happened?
He's doing my job!
But the scene on the roof of Yggdrasil was actually really good by writer standards, CG standards and all that.
Which means it's almost as good as regular commercial standards in America.
Almost.
It's almost as good as basic children's TV shows.
And I'll admit, this fight scene made me like that song.
Oh, EXA or whatever it's called, EXA song?
Yeah.
Is that the song?
Yeah.
Riding Girls have been getting better.
So, while all the main fighting's done, Bugen just stumbles off onto the leftover camp and all the loxies that the scientists had gathered.
And all the corpses.
Hey, jackpot! That's okay, it's
worst
just
Easter egg hunt ever.
And end result, Gaim goes home with 218 loxies.
Well, Sid does in the end, I guess.
Yeah. But, I mean, they have to get, like, a milk crate to carry them all to Sid.
I kind of wonder why I know the other team's called shenanigans on this.
Well, when it said some of them had one or two, did that just mean the ones they have for their own basic forms and that's it?
No, I think they mean the ones they grabbed in the forest, because Baron had eight, and that's way more than he has normally.
It was just eight sunflowers, maybe. It was just everyone else threw sunflowers away, and he just picked them up at the end.
Yeah.
Well, the whole condition was that it was a gamble whether the seeds they brought back would be worthwhile or not.
So they retain their top rating. Baron's down to fourth place, and Sid is rich as
and leaves.
Yeah. And Bravo
trying
even
to
has
close
his own
down shop.
Ranking. Yeah.
So no more seeds.
No more bought seeds.
The yeah, since everyone can go drive to the forest themselves and collect what they need. So you know.
That's one thing I liked about last episode. They didn't have enough props of the seed version of the bike, so Bravo held up a toy.
Yeah.
You can tell because it's so much smaller. Or it could be because Bravo's got huge as arms and it looks smaller because of that. But
was he in suit or out of suit?
He was out of suit.
That's why they used the toy.
Yeah. But I love they only...
They use larger props with the suits. They use toys with the... when outside of the suits.
But you can tell they've only got one Rose Attacker and one Sakura Hurricane actual bike, because in that scene in the last episode,
same thing
just
as Sentai.
Yeah, they're just cutting every 5 minutes. No, I think we saw more than one Dino Chaser in Kyuga. I think two.
We saw two through some editing.
Yeah. And then,
custom motorcycles are hard, dude.
And yeah, at the end, Kota is pissed off as f***, gives Sid a stink eye, and then we have a little montage of scenes wrapping up, I think they called this
very
first
very depressing
arc.
A bit of foreshadowing with this monologue
Kota's,
here.
Kota's little outburst is basically what convinces Sid that everybody knows too much of what's going on and it's time to not be around.
Yeah.
But it's like, this arc was called, I think, the Age of the Lock Dealer, I think they officially called it in magazines.
Okay.
Yeah, they're really playing up how it's an arc, because on Toei's TV channel, they had, on Toei's YouTube channel, they had, summary movies of everything that's happened in the first arc, as well as showing off the Energy Riders for a few seconds. They're really playing it up like it's being written, like, almost like anime-style arcs.
And, you know,
I'm gonna be sad if Sid's not around anymore.
We still have to know what's in Sid's lock. Sid's lock is still the biggest mystery of them all, really. The S-lock or whatever it was.
given that we've had like 6 years of where every series is in the 2-episode format, I'm pretty happy for them to like be trying to structure this more as distinct story arcs instead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of the 2 episodes.
This is a much greater structure, and I definitely enjoy it a lot more than any recent show.
Well, I've been watching some of the older series again, like rewatching them, and that's what it was like back then, really, for most of them. But there's a thing, like, with the 2-episode format, it was hard to tell when an arc would have ended. Like, technically, I guess Oz was when Berth showed up and helped kill the Mezzel Gamel hybrid. That was the first end of the first arc, I guess you could say. And in Double, it would probably be when Fang Joker was introduced, maybe.
When Kirihiko died, I think.
Oh, yeah, that was just before the Fang Joker, I can never remember.
Kirihiko died, like, the next episode after Fang Joker... No, he died after Fang Joker.
Oh, yeah, he died, and then XL showed up the next arc, wasn't it?
He wanted to fight Double as Fang Joker.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe the fact that Gaim started in October is helping it, because the Genesis Driver in that, if this show started in September, we'd be having the Genesis Drivers in late teens of the episodes, because you have to have your secondary rider toy. It has to be out in December. That's how it works. That's where it has to be out. So we get that toy earlier now because the show started in October. So that means the final form, and that's later. But I think it did go good. It didn't need to stretch out another 4 episodes of use, maybe of just padding out till they had to do a new toy.
Yeah, it's keeping them keep the new toys at a pace with how they're telling the story.
Like this month's only a Cherry Seed and Ridon AC toy, and that's it. But next month's a few Seed and a few other AC toys. Then we got the Victory Cry gun and Seed in March, the DJ turntable gun.
What are the next AC toys?
Gridon is out in 2 weeks. Zengetsu Shin is out next month, and so is Gaim Shin.
Okay.
And Kurikage should be after that.
Yeah, Kurikage's in February as well, yep.
And, no date on Bravo?
Bravo is still no pre-order yet.
Lame.
But
because they're probably still designing the toy.
Well, like I said, the armor does not work physically.
Yeah, I'm guessing they're going to have to cheat a little bit to get that to work, but I won't complain too much as long as it exists.
I mean, it doesn't even matter, really. It doesn't matter if it forms a seed form. It just has to be able to fit on all the figures.
It just has
as
to
armor.
Be fabulous.
That too.
No, they'll make all the spikes out of die-cast metal, so every single person who tries to review it on YouTube starts getting all these holes in their hands, starts bleeding, and passes out on camera.
And nothing of value was lost.
I'd watch 67 of those.
There is only one good Toku toy reviewer, and his name is Leon, and he is Japanese, and he is hilarious.
There's also the one that does them in the form of stop motion.
Oh, Yuhendix or something, I think he's called.
Yuhendix, I think, yeah.
Yeah, he does mecha, but his mecha stuff's great. He does Transformer stuff as well.
I know, I've seen a lot of his work. I was very pleased to see him do Watermelon Arms.
Oh, yeah, because he did the rolling sounds and stuff in me as well or something. Like, you can look at his collection, it's f***ing huge.
Hmm.
I didn't get it, because like, he does Precure candy toys as well, which is really weird, because he'll do a Transformer, and next week he does like a Precure one.
How's your time to get laid?
So next week, Shin Zengetsu and Kurikage is the new Ryo Trooper.
Notice how quickly Paladin shifts the focus away from getting laid.
He's quite good at that.
I noticed. It's almost like he doesn't want to talk about that or something.
Speaking about getting laid, it looks like Gridon's no longer going to get laid by Kurikage. They're having a little breakup. He's not going to be able to feel his acorn anymore. I feel he's buying green. And any other fruit innuendo with seeds all over his face.
Well, seriously, the multiple...
then one. Go ahead.
The multiple Kurikage suits did make me realize just how brilliant Gaim's being with foreshadowing and whatnot.
They are a bit different to
he
the
basic. He doesn't
want
to be a mook.
And I'll tell you
no,
what
it
else.
It goes beyond that a bit.
They have silver belts instead of yellow belts. Which
go back and watch the beginning war with the Riders in episode 1. The Watermelon Arms are all piloted by Kurikages.
Are they? I thought there's some Gridons in there as well or something.
It's the same coloring and leg scheme pattern on the armor as him.
But I mean, the only way the Kurokage suit could look more like a GM is if it was red and white.
And
that thing
up.
Had mass production written all over it from the first scan.
Bandai eventually does a crossover Lockseed, you get the Leo Lockseed, you put it in the belt, and you explode.
Well, you've seen the art of the Bear Guy Lockseed, right?
That was great.
All right, let's take a break.
Okay.
You're listening to Superhero Time.
Timmy B's real brand mayonnaise.
It's time for Power Playback. Look for Power Playback every Friday on Twitter at superhero_time.
So for Power Playback this week, I don't remember who chose Z-Cross, but...
But they deserve to burn in a fiery hell.
It was JD.
Yeah, we're going to blame JD for that.
I liked it.
Well, good. That means Paladin gets to summarize.
Didn't watch.
Do I have to summarize it then?
I guess so.
I made it about 4 minutes in.
It's an all Gobblers episode this week.
Yeah!
I watched enough to say,
in.
Okay, there's these old writers and this shit happened and there's some shitty costumes and yeah, f*** it.
It's time for the God Bless Cunting Hour.
Okay, that's your new intro quote this week.
Don't I have like 10 already?
No. I stopped counting after the first one, but that was too good.
10 is relatable here because 10 means Z-Cross. So, Z-Cross is the 10th rider, even though because they count Rider Man as a rider, but they don't count Tackle as a rider because they're sexist.
She also died.
Yeah, she died. Well, so did Rider
Man. Man.
Obviously not, because there he is.
He got better.
Yeah.
So basically,
and isn't this the only time Z-Cross appears?
I think he appeared in manga before this. I think like his story was told in magazines and stuff. It was okay. So basically, the first 10 or so minutes is roughly more of a if people kids didn't read those stories or watch any kind of specials back then. They used to do that quite a bit for arm shows, but it's basically saying who he was. I think from memory, his name's Ro. He was basically in a plane crash, saw someone close to him die, became a cyborg, typical Kamen Rider fare.
Basically, the full first 10 or 15 minutes of this is telling you who Kamen Riders are and telling you why it really sucks to know this guy, because you're probably going to get killed.
Yeah, it's basically that. If you're a Kamen Rider, you've had a shit life. It's basically what they're trying to tell you. They're almost trying to validate the curse of a Kamen Rider, which happens to actors. But, so, it's basically about backstory. He's working for this place called... I think I'm going to pronounce it wrong. Is it Badan? Badan?
Yeah.
Even though the subs say Badam a few times, they put M instead of N. And they have these mooks that look like they've got made of balloon animals. which have actually been appearing in the filming of the new movie, so people think it might be quite Z-Cross focused. So anyway, basically it's all about Z-Cross and how he... Life is hard, crawling in my skin, all of that. I feel so numb. So... After then his backstory, he had another accident while he was working for the Evil Corporation, and he became good again. Then there's some crap about how he's with another doctor now, and his daughter... Sorry?
The doctor?
Oh, I thought you said butt doctor. No. Not the doctor or a butt doctor. None of the doctors. But, so...
We don't
and then
know there's... that he wasn't a proctologist.
Or a gastrologist. Or any kind of thing that involves putting stuff in people's butts. He could have just been someone who was into sodomy. We don't know.
Who isn't?
Exactly. I mean, this is a whole movie about a bunch of guys running around in costumes. I'm quite sure they're all into sodomy. Now, after you got all this stuff about Z-Cross, you basically, you then get the riders showing the riders playing hide and seek outside a barge. You got Amazon Rider 2 running around trying to work out how to get into a ship, which is where the Bardons are, and they can't work out where the f*** it is, even though it's pretty obvious. And then you had some riders meet up and talk. I think, basically, I thought it was Zubat at first, but that's because it was the same actor, but it was V3. And he was wearing his Zubat outfit for some reason. I mean, if you see a guy in a cowboy hat, you think it's Zubat. Because he is the best at everything. Wait, have you guys watched Zubat or not?
I think we did.
Well, Zubat's awesome.
What, Max?
I don't know.
I can swear we watched an episode of it.
Well, Zubat is awesome, and the guy who plays Zubat is awesome. Anyway, V3 meets up with Super One, and I think the guy who's doing Rider Man at the moment, but I don't think it's the original Rider Man.
No, it's...
No.
This was the last time that the original actor played Rider Man.
Because then he died, okay, right?
So he was sick during this then, was he?
Yeah.
Was he? Okay. It was cancer, I think he got... Was it? I can't remember. But, yeah, so it's Rider Man.
SIDS.
Sure, so let's go with SIDS.
I'm not too sure why it's Rider Man and V3. I guess V3 was just a popular show and they actually could get them. And
Rider Man was in, Rider Man showed up in Sky Rider a lot as well.
Oh, okay. And then you got Super One because Super One was just the most newest series at the time.
Yeah. It's pretty much whatever actors that were available.
And I like how their summary of Sky Rider was that he can be powered up by the other riders.
Yeah.
His two character traits they mention are he can fly and the other riders can power him up.
Yeah.
By beating his ass.
Yeah, they don't mention it. Sadly, they don't mention how they powered him up.
The scene before that's pretty good, though. It's just the riders beating up trucks, basically. You see Stronger kick blow up a truck. You see, I think it was V3 kicks a truck over and it blows up, or it might have been Rider 1, I can't remember. And then there's a misunderstanding. Z-Cross thinks they're working with the bad guys, and they have a good old-fashioned rider misunderstanding for 5 seconds. For some reason. And then they go back to V3's house. I think it's V3's house. And then they watch a videotape.
That looks very, very good for being videotape.
Yeah, it looks better than a TVN encode. But then they start watching it, and they get little
summaries. Looks better than some of the deep... That videotape looks better than... the DVDs for some of those shows.
It looks almost as good as the Blu-rays for Fies.
Have they actually got footage of that? Hey, I might be importing those.
Well, you're dumb then, aren't you?
I'm awesome. But they get a little videotape of every rider's origin.
Scales.
And what?
Bringing up scales.
Oh.
Fort Max, you're way too hung up on this.
Who's being all fuzzy in the background?
That's Mickey, it's fine.
Oh, okay. So anyway, there's a little summary of every rider. Everything everyone knows. Everyone's a cyborg, except for Amazon.
Yeah, because they just don't know how the hell he works.
Yeah. It's like, he's got the gifts of a giant lizard, but we don't know how he got it. Basically, is a summary. And then they show them how they defeated, like, not the final villain, but close. Some of them are the final villains, some of them are close to being the final villains in their seasons. And, yeah, they basically, oh, I will fight with you guys now. Because Bardom have this weird this machine that turns the sky red and makes people turn to dust or some shit and disappear.
It looked like a big Dalek.
It does. And the guy who's in the weird Egyptian attire looks like Frollo from Notre Dame. In the makeup.
Looks like an Egyptian penis.
All Egyptian penises are shaped like pharaoh heads.
They've all got stripes, too.
Pyramidus had the right thing going on. So yeah, the basically, in the end, it does just become in-suit fighting for the last 20 minutes of fighting old monsters. There isn't really much story in the special, but it is nice to see some of the suits and people doing the special abilities and stuff like that. True, it'd be better if all the actors were back and doing the sounds and stuff. I think some of the sounds and some of the moves are actually just taken from old episodes. But I didn't feel offended by this, but it was decent. And then after they kill, I'm speeding through this, after they kill the Tutankhamun dickhead guy with Rider. I think it said Rider Synchro, but I think the real term is Rider Syndrome.
Yes, it is.
Okay, because I think there was an argument about that about the recent episode of Black or something.
Yeah. And that episode was, from what I can tell, done with the captions. That from the recent Toei channel airings.
Oh, okay.
And this didn't have the captions when it was done.
Ah, okay. Well, that makes sense. It is hard to hear a Japanese voice say synchro and syndrome at the same time kind of deal. But anyway, they do this little spinny thingy. Then they kick. Really Cross turns red and kicks the dude, and he blows up. Then the sky turns black, and a skeleton head appears, and it looks like the evil guy from Cyborg 009. And he talks about, oh, you've won this time, Riders, and evil will come back or whatever.
And he was never heard from again.
He never heard of again, and that's unless he comes back in the new movie. But that's the special. It essentially is basically a primer for kids to work out who Riders are, but then Black aired the next year, wasn't it? Or Black aired there the same year?
Black was a few years later.
Was it a few? Okay, they took a huge break, did they?
Because, let's see, this was January 84, 83.
It'd be 84, because they didn't people saying
January 84. Black was, like, 88.
Oh, it was 86. No, it's 86, because Black RX started when the first... was it Black or Black RX that started halfway through when Emperor Showa died? I think it was Black RX was halfway through, and he died in, I think, 88.
Black RX was, like, in single-digit episode count.
Yeah, so I think he died when Black RX was airing. I think that was in 1988. I think 87, 86 was Black. Yeah, something like that, yeah. Or 85, 86. It was mid to late 80s. But, so...
Black started October 87.
Oh, well, there you go, then.
It's like dueling history textbooks.
So that means, I'm born the year Black and Black RX came out, yeah.
This is the most Fort Max conversation we've had in quite a while.
So you're younger than I am.
Yes, I am younger than you.
No, because Fort Max is 12. Or
yes, but
or...
they grow. But Gobble is 8, but he grows up faster in Australia because you have to.
I was raised by dingoes. They didn't eat me.
So you were the baby that the dingoes stole?
Yes, I was raised by the dingoes. I have a redback venom blood in my veins to make sure I don't die. I should go down south and take a picture of this beach I used to go to as a kid. It's littered with blue bottle jellyfish all over the beach. If you step on them, you get stung really badly. But they just wash up on shore and it looks like a whole beach full of blue used condoms. Though real beaches just have the real used condoms all over. Yeah, I'm still waiting for them to do a Pokemon game set in Australia. Everything is poison type.
Poison type flying is a chance to shine.
Please pick your starter. You have a choice between water poison, fire poison, and grass poison. The water poison is a shark. I don't know what fire poison would be. Some kind of
I don't care what fire poison is. That's just an awesome term. This is fire poison.
We haven't had a fire poison Pokemon, I don't think.
Have we?
Everyone thought Lit Leo was going to be like a Manticore. Even I did. But yeah.
This fire is poisonous.
That's like when it should be a spider.
There's going to be too many spiders in a Pokemon Australia. Like, instead of a Pidgey, it's a spider.
With wings. 8 wings.
No, it'll be a funnel web spider, but instead of funnel webs, it does like a tornado, so it's a flying spider. Like, the Rattata's a rat spider. You go to the cave, it's rock spiders.
No, it's a Zubat spider.
Zubat spider.
Where's cowboy hat?
Yeah.
It's the best of everything. You go to the Elite Four, Lance pulls out a dragon spider. The legendaries are dog spiders that run around everywhere.
Even the Magikarp spiders can kill you.
Was that Cure song that has the spies eating me for dinner? Is that Lullaby? I can remember. But yeah, that's the Z-Cross special. We're talking about Pokemon, Drew.
This is superhero time.
Uh-huh.
What do you expect?
People do think Z-Cross will be a big part of the new movie because of His they grunts suck.
Yes. Nah, all the grunts are in the filming scenes. But Decade's actor tweeted last night that he actually likes the story. But when he tweeted about the first superhero Tyson, he said the story was confusing as hell. And he was right.
Maybe he likes it because there's no Sentai involved.
No, no, it says Feet Sentai.
Just so like maybe he liked it because there's no Sentai involved.
It's like
yeah, it will be like how Ryder was involved in Jack vs. Go Ranger.
No, it'd be like how Kiva was involved in that Climax Decker movie.
I think Kiva actually had actually more of a appearance than a picture on a map.
No.
Not much more, but
I'd rather a picture on
a map. It maybe was a video on a map, but that still is more of an appearance than a picture on a map.
I don't know. I think I'd prefer that. But there's what was the other one? It was, yeah, the Kyuriga movie should have been called Kyuriga versus Upper Ranger versus Jew Ranger Feet Go Busters.
Well, special guest appearances. And I saw a picture last night with the Go Busters in Kyuriga's cockpit, and they don't even have the pedestal things to stand on.
Yeah, because the final
they aren't brave enough.
The final mecha form has them inside, Ryder and Kyuriga's in holding the lion head from Lion-O, or whatever that mecha was called, Takagimi Lion-O, or whatever it was.
Main Lion-O.
Whatever the lion head was, that's what they're holding up, the lion wheel head. So that's what the movie combination is.
The Lion-O Megazord.
Yep.
Shut up, you.
Samuel Flange? But yeah, you keep seeing these.
Oh, that video.
There's all these balloon animal books and all these pictures, so that's probably going to be Z-Cross and Bardam Empire or whatever.
Or it's just the costumes they had.
Maybe. But like no one's really sure what's happening like this year. People thought it wasn't going to happen, but then it got announced late. Akiba Ranger. Apparently that Akiba Ranger next year thing, that apparently wasn't legit.
Wow, apparently I'm shocked.
Apparently it was mistranslated. According to Tom, Constantine was saying it was mistranslated.
Maybe
apparently.
Next year we'll get a Giga Beetle movie.
That's the net movies.
No, it's just a full length feature film.
It's just Giga Beetle in a chair for 2 hours. Saying whatever comes to mind.
I'd pay to see that.
Giga Beetle's Twitter, the movie.
It's not even him, it's just him that he's got his Twitter avatar it's like over his face as a mask and he's just talking. But like, because
I imagine it would be like, it would be just V3, figure arts V3 with a printout of his Twitter, well, it would just be V3 dressed up like he is in his Twitter avatar.
With a monocle and a top hat.
Yes. It'd just be the camera pointed at that with the Giga Beetle just stream of thought narration.
That'd be great. But with all these crossover movies and shit, I have no idea if adult collectors in Japan even give a about Sentai. Like the Dragon Ranger's demise in Jew Ranger was one of the highest rated Sentai episodes ever. Like the ratings were through the roof, but the toy is getting sold at like for only 980 yen in stores at the moment, heavily discounted. And every other Sentai toy is going on fucking deep discount every freaking time they do a sale at Hobby Search or Hobby Link Japan or
So they go on discount every time they have a sale?
No, as in
that's amazing.
What are the odds?
No, considering Japanese sales, that is amazing. Usually they say a sale and you take 10 yen off it. But I'm like the
it's like Kmart.
Yeah, like Kmart. Like the Zikun that Malshina used, that was originally 12,000 yen when it came out. In Japan, you can get it for 2,000 yen now.
With or without the hot glue?
Without the hot glue.
Oh, well, that actually is a deal.
That's only $20 instead of 150 or whatever it was at the start. But there's been a few things like that. Like apparently, you could have got a Deca Red was going for 500 yen at one stage.
I wonder why.
On CD Japan, there was a bunch of Reds that were going for almost nothing.
Yeah, Akira Red, they did a sale really, like, he came, the day he came, like, a week after he came out, they had him, I think, down to 1,500, but I think they put down Red Buster to 500 yen for a week, and people bought a bunch of them just for custom fodder. Because it's $5 for a figure, I'd not say no to that, even if the Go Buster ones are pretty
I wonder
lame.
Why Japan adult collectors don't seem to be giving a shit about Sentai. I mean, we do.
The Sentai fans, I think, they don't have action figures really as the line. They prefer the mecha.
Yeah, they're not conditioned into that as kids because
pretty much it's all the action figures are the things that come with the bikes.
Yeah.
When they had bikes.
Or or the brooms for Magi Ranger.
Yeah. Tokuga is the first show to have these articulated action figures in a fucking ages.
Yeah.
Because they're meant to,
because
they
bikes.
Like, well, they don't have, do they have bikes with them? No. Do they? No bikes? I haven't even looked. But, like, this is the first... We haven't had these... Like, hopefully they're Gaim quality. If they're Gaim quality, I might buy them.
I think Magi Ranger actually was the last series to have, like, normal articulated action figures in Japan.
Yeah, because GoBusters brought back the bike and figure, but that was no elbows and a weird scale, and Inkyo Riga continued that. And we had vinyls for all the other series, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's f***ing yeah. Vinyl figures.
People love them.
I don't know why.
I've seen people getting the Candy Toy Bravo one and cutting it open and putting it over a blank body and making Candy Toy AC Bravo. But like, I think they need to stop doing Sentai figure arts. I think it's a lost cause.
It probably is. I think the fact that Jew Ranger and more importantly Kiba Ranger happened primarily for North America.
But even North America doesn't want anything that's not MMPR.
I know that. I'm just saying though. I think the fact that's even happening, you know, specifically because of North American demand, probably proves that. Yeah, Japan just does not care enough about having Sentai figure arts.
Like, there's collectors that do like them and that, but yeah, you're right. Like, that's why. I reckon they should have probably made the whole team web exclusive. That way they wouldn't have a big of a loss. But, because I know a lot of people that bought Triana Ranger off the Amazon, like, bought Red Ranger off Amazon, they got shitty when they saw it for only 1,000 yen on Hobby Search.
Yeah.
Because the shipping was only like...
Hmm?
Shipping would only have been $700 if you did sell. 700, yeah.
Yep.
Wow, what a bargain!
What a bargain. Like, even Rider stuff, the newer stuff never sells as well as the older stuff. Like, Garen pre-order sold out right away, and as did Blade and Blade's reissue and shit like that. And Blade's King Form is so popular on the web shop, he had to get a second shipment in January.
No, and that... It makes more sense to me that, you know, figure arts for Rider stuff would do better on older show suits than current, because more people are going to have their nostalgic attachment to it.
And they're going to be 18, 20s now.
For everyone.
Yeah,
too.
And they're going to be 18 and 20 and shit. They're going to be at that age. It's the collecting age.
Yeah, kids can't afford, you know, 50 yen action figures.
Yeah.
Or 5,000 yen, rather.
You just made my same mistake. I win. But it's like...
we both lose, actually.
Because recently we've had Blade, that's been a big success. Delta sold really well as well. Burning Agito, except for its humongous arm snapping and wrist snapping things I keep seeing everywhere and making me terrified. it's been popular. Shining sold out, pre-order sold out as well. They've learned, I think after Forza, Wizard and O's, I think Bandai've gone, we need to do more older toys as we go. I still have no idea why Kabuto has to be 5,000 with all this new engineering.
Because it's the first figure to actually use all that new engineering, I guess?
It doesn't look that much different to Blade. And Blade has perfect engineering. It doesn't have the Figma wrists either. Which, and that's out in March, so we don't even know if those Figma wrists on this figure out are going to snap. Though figure arts joints at the moment snap, so...
Yeah.
I've never had that happen, actually. Actually, I've only had a wrist snap on Ultra Act Glen Fire, but that was my fault because I left it on like a near my window and that plastic got the sun hit the plastic and you know how it gets weak after a while.
So, Paladin, what do you blame on Gridman breaking?
The answer may surprise you.
That Gridman is a terrible toy. Like, I will not
Gridman, from what I've heard, would often come pre-broken.
Yeah, a lot of people did get Broken Gridman.
Oh, so just like a Microman figure.
Yeah. Basically, Gridman, the problem with I have a Gridman is the Gridman toy is meh, but the armor, putting the armor on the Gridman toy is terrible. You leave the armor on the little fake Gridman they give you, but has no joints. You leave it on that. Because if you put it on Gridman, it's a floppy piece of shit. It can't even stand. And Ultra Axe are
my deluxe Gridman doesn't have that problem at all.
Isn't that just a brick with little rhinestones on it?
No.
No.
Isn't it? Is it really a tick? I didn't watch. Gridman never came here, to my knowledge.
No, actually, you probably never had the large original Power Rangers figures either, but
I got Green Ranger and Red Ranger and Blue Ranger of those.
Basically, that the Gridman toy, the servo toy as we got it, was basically like that. It was the same size, roughly, and almost as articulated.
Oh, okay, so it wasn't a G1 Transformer.
Oh, no, not at all.
I thought it was. Oh, okay. I must have been the Japanese ones I was looking at. Maybe.
No, the Japanese large, the deluxe toy, which we got over here as the through Playmates, but it's articulated at knees, at the ankles, at the shoulders can move forwards and to the sides. It pretty much has full.
For the time it was released, it was a very advanced level of articulation.
Sounds and like it'd be good even in this day and age.
The Gridman, yeah, still the good original now. Gridman line was Takara, so.
Yeah.
Well, I must be thinking of some kind of candy toys in the 90s or something I've seen, maybe.
The basic Gridman toys, which we also got here.
Yeah.
I guess so they did multiple size classes and stuff,
did they? Yeah, they did smaller sets, like the small set with the three vehicles couldn't form Xenon, but it made the synchro armor, and the servo figures that came with that only moved at the shoulders.
Yeah.
So that's probably what you're thinking of more.
Did God Xenon even come out yet? An Ultra Act?
I don't know. Wasn't that a web exclusive?
It's web shop, but I'm going to look that up now. But because you remember I don't know if you guys remember the Tamashii Nations where they were staying, showing off all the blueprints, blurring it out, trying to make it up to be a big deal. But after Gridman came out, they almost wanted, like, they even had that page of the music theme playing. But then when it came out, they kind of tried to shove it underneath the rug. It's like, we never made anything like that. What the fuck are you guys on about?
I'm kind of glad I never actually went in on any of the Gridman Ultra Act stuff, because
it wasn't worth it for the price. I will not argue that at all. Like, he doesn't have the same kind of waist joints that an Ultra Act has. He's nothing like a proper Ultra Act, because the renewal bodies on all the new Ultra Acts are perfect. It's better than even some of the Rider bodies. Oh, here we go. God Xenon, or whatever his name is, he's out in March with Kyoru Gold and the Ride Shooter. I didn't get the Ride Shooter. F*** the Ride Shooter. It's 8,400 yen for a f***ing bike on web shop plus middleman fees.
No, it's not a bike. It's a chair with a cover.
I'll be interested to see how Xenon turns out, because I doubt that's going to end up being
actually
very...
Xenon actually looks pretty good, because he's not on a body. He is a body kind of deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, he comes with that dragon cannon as well, it looks like.
So, anybody have any quick ideas for what we can watch next week?
Just Beyond.
Bioman.
Okay,
and
Bioman
just came
it is.
Out then.
All right,
so we're still back in the episode after the last one we watched.
Well,
you
whatever.
You guys watching it as weekly eyes?
Just tell me later what episode to post on Friday, and we'll go with that.
What about Deno? I'm watching that too.
I thought you finished Deno.
Make up your damn mind, man.
I'll make my damn mind by Friday.
Great. So it'll be a surprise to everybody else, just like me, what we end up doing for next week.
It won't be ZX, I guarantee that.
Well, it's not like there's any more of him.
unless you do a live reading of Kamen Rider Spirits.
No.
He's actually good in the manga.
No, that's okay. So
speaking of live reads, you need to do the fanfic thing for us eventually.
Yeah. Fuck. Goblin.
I forgot about that.
We haven't.
I don't know what it would be. Like, it'd need to be some obscure, like a rider times by a really shitty cartoon.
I mean, all you gotta do is go on fanfiction.net and...
Alright, no, I'll do this right now. Okay, once I won't read anything, but I'll just go to fanfiction.net and I'll do search Kamen Rider and I'll tell you the first crazy one I see.
It needs to be erotic.
Damn it.
Yeah, there's gotta be some good ones with Kenzaki, because, I mean, that's almost true to life.
Kamen Rider Dante, Kamen Rider and Ronnie the Yellow Ranger, Kamen Rider Return, Kamen Rider Sorcerer, Kamen Rider Ninjas, Tournament Kamen Rider the Undead Rider, Kamen Rider Idas, Naruto Kamen Rider O Challenge, Kamen Rider Sengoku, Code Geass Rider, Kamen Rider Oni, Rider to Vampire, Rosaria to Vampire, redone to a college setting with a Kamen Rider twist. The accidental Rider, the first Kamen Rider Kabuto Naruto crossover. Magical Kamen Rider Ranma All Makes. These are All Make chapters of Magical Kamen Rider Ranma.
See, there's plenty of material here. All you gotta do is like read a paragraph out of each one.
Precure and Kamen Rider crossover deluxe.
Ken would like that.
I like Kamen Rider as well.
Gintaro and Kengo have to spend the night handcuffed together due to JK's prank.
I just want to see something. I want to see something that's related to some kind of Western. The Keyblades, Kamen Rider.
Oh, Oja's Rebirth. This is a Kamen Rider Ryuki and Harry Potter crossover. It is rated M for violence, language, and adult themes.
There's so many Kamen Rider Naruto crossovers. The Red Curtain, a spin-off of Kamen Rider Chrome. Kamen Rider Spider-Man. Kamen Rider Kiva versus Batman.
Well. Okay, then.
Wait, was this why? I might have seen a good one. There's one called Kamen Rider Trans, but I don't know if it's about transgenders or transgender kind of stuff or not. Kamen Rider Forza versus Jimmy Neutron. No, even better. Sonic Journey Through the Decade. Sonic the Hedgehog, hero, legend, Kamen Rider. Wait, what? Join Sonic on his adventures as a Kamen Rider.
And on that amazing note, I think we've come to the end of our fourth anniversary podcast.
This was an anniversary?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh.
Yeah, this week marks the fourth year we've been doing the podcast, basically nonstop.
I'm not really part of this podcast.
You are now.
It's too late to leave.
Tune in next week for Goblins' first bad fanfic theater.
I'm not here next week. I'm at work.
No, but you'll pre-record it.
I will?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, you're here now.
Everybody in favor of bad fanfic?
Do I have to do it in a Cockney accent?
Everybody in favor of bad fanfic theater, say aye.
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 Hello, kids, and welcome to bad fanfic theater about Sonic the Hedgehog, the Kamen Rider Journey Through the Decade.
Yes, do it exactly like that.
I feel like it was fair to die.
But read it wearing a bathrobe.
And
didn't I suggest that I was wearing a bathrobe next to a fire with a cigar in my mouth?
Or maybe a pipe. A pipe is a little classier.
Anyways, happy anniversary.
You've been listening to Superhero Time. Go to tokupodcast.com for show notes and to listen to previous episodes. Find us on iTunes or download our Android app at tfradio.net/android. Follow us on Twitter for show updates, weekly power playback, and more at superhero_time. Superhero Time is a Radio Free Cybertron production.
Yeah, that was the end.
Thank
cool.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, thanks for being
thanks
on.
Thanks for coming back.
Every time I have a holiday.
Yeah, basically, it's the best time, considering, you know, time zones.
Sorry I couldn't come on last week, though.
Oh, no, it's okay. I mean, I wasn't... When I asked you last week, I wasn't even thinking about that. Yeah, that's going to be New Year's Eve for you, and, you know.
I had to prepare.
Yeah, no, it's all cool, dude.
It's all good in the hood.
You know, we got Gigabeetle on, and that's just as good as having you.
I didn't watch it, but what's a Danger Wank? Is it when you wank, is it when you wank in public? Or is it when you wank to Danger 5?
Okay, I think the way he described it was, it's when you're masturbating and you're close to coming and you yell for your parents. And you have to finish before they come in.
The best jerking story I've ever heard. I think Stephen Fry actually told this. Maybe it was on QI. I think it was about this guy who used to jerk off with his headphones on. So he closed his eyes. He'd be jerking his headphones on, and after he was finished, he opened his eyes and there was a cup of tea next to him. He left his door. Brought him a cup of tea. God, crazy. Oh, thank you for having me. I'm going to go do some other stuff now.
All right, and I think Mickey's going to go to bed.
Yes, time for sleep because I'm old.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night. Here's all. Good singers. Bye.
And Paladin left a while ago.
Are you done talking now?
Super Hero Time! 来週もよろしくね。
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.